thank you so much, Jolanta, for joining the We Don't Play podcast show today. How are you?
I'm doing really good, Faber. And yourself?
I'm doing well. I'm so glad you're here. You know, this is a time that a lot of people love to hear stories, and your story has been impactful to me, you know, all the way from Clubhouse till the podcast. So I would love people to know more about you. How did you get into this journey, and what sparked your lens, if I can put it like that?
Well, first of all, I love that. And secondly, I feel so honored to be a part of your podcast. And my name is Jolanta. So I am a fashion and editorial photographer. I'm located in the Twin Cities metro area, but I also travel. I probably got started in photography maybe about 10 years or so-ish, kind of. Through my dad. My dad was actually a documenter, and he used to work from Trinidad and Tobago. And so my dad worked for a television station back home, TDT. And so he had his camera, and I guess it was always told when I was younger or as a baby, I would always sit behind his lap and kind of watch on the screen. And so that's kind of my amazement with photography. And when I was in school, I was kind of like that go-to person for events and stuff, and they'd always ask me if I had my camera available, and I would just have like a digital, wasn't even digital back then, I had a film camera, an actual film camera that took film, and so I would develop film. And so that's kind of my love of photography coming from the development side of filming, of the old school format film, and when you had to go to a store to develop them for 1 hour. So that's kind of been my journey, and I've worked in a variety of studios here locally. I've done a lot of events. I've gone to Fashion Week a lot here in my area, and I am traveling now to New York City for runway shows and events out in New York City as well.
Wow.
So that's where I'm at.
Wow, these are big moves. You know, when you said develop film, it reminded me of when I used to do the same thing too. But this was not professional. This was a school project, you know, where you have, you know, you take a picture, develop it all night, come back the next day, and then go to, back to the dark room and see what you got. Those days were amazing. And you know, back then, you know, you wouldn't really appreciate those days because they looked like, but now you're like, man.
I actually still have one of my photos from that same dark room that you're talking about, and I think it's cool. I wish I could have a dark room in my house nowadays, because it's so fun to sort of see the photos come alive, and you know, taking a roll of actual roll of film. I still have film that's undeveloped right now, and it's crazy that it's dirt cheap, because back then a roll of film was $30 to $50, I think, to buy a whole case.
How much is it now?
I think they're like $7 on Amazon. You go to Amazon for $7 and get a whole case of film.
Oh my god. Wow. Do you remember your first photo?
Good question. I remember my first client.
Okay, we can talk about that too.
Well, my first client was actually my husband. And so he booked me for an all-day type excursion. And we just went somewhere in downtown, St. Paul, I think, and we just kind of put around my camera. I didn't really have a fancy camera back then that I do now. I just had it was like a SLR camera that was a smaller format, and it was a compact camera that I would carry around with me. And so we went all around St. Paul and just kind of took some photos. And so he's like, wow, you spent a whole day with me. Might as well be a date. We did a date out of it, and so you did a whole day, and it's like you paid what, $75 for a whole day shoot. So I wasn't serious then as I am now. So that was a steal, actually.
A big one. That would be like a Black Friday sale, you know.
Yeah, exactly. That's right, Black Friday's coming up too.
Right, exactly. Oh man, this is exciting though. I'm glad that you are you're bringing to life, you know, what people want to see. And I know when it comes to photography, I'm sure you've had some clients in the past who are hard to work with because you know what they want, you know what they need, but they can't see it and they can't tell you what they see. Have you ever had that kind of a situation?
I sure have. I wouldn't necessarily say they're hard clients. I think it's just sometimes it's miscommunication that goes between client and photographer sometimes, especially when it comes to like owning the images, because there's always like a big debate who owns the images at the end of the day. If I took them from a client, I still retain the images because I have a licensing fee that people can pay if they want the raw files, because I don't ever deliver raw files. That's rule number one. I don't do that. Even though there's some cases, like if people are shooting weddings, they might do raw images or they might edit raw images for somebody else. That's totally different than if I'm doing like a event or if I'm doing a commercial shoot or an editorial type shoot. I won't do that. So I think where we stand is always a mutual agreement. Sometimes a shoot might work out, sometimes a shoot might not work out. And I totally respect that. You know, I like to stay friendly with everybody because I never know when someone else might need me down the line for something else. And that's something I totally believe in. Great question.
Yeah, anytime. I'm glad that, you know, people are listening and they're learning. Because some people have never done photo shoots before. Some do in the spring of time. Some people just say smile, and they smile and they just take a picture, so they don't know what's really going on. So I would ask this for someone listening, and I'm glad that I'm going to ask this question because I know somebody will take it home and learn from it. How do you prepare for a photo shoot?
You know, there's always something new to learn on a photo shoot. I'm not going to say you can ever be 100% prepared. Because sometimes you might forget something. I've been in situations where maybe I didn't have like everything with me. So what I do now is I make sure to just pre-pack everything the night before. So I will go through, are my batteries all charged? Do I have all my SD cards? Actually, let me see if I can show you. I do have...
Okay.
I have two of these. I have two of these SD cards for backup because I am so scared of my technology failing me. I must always have SD cards and everything at the ready because I never know. I probably have like thousands of SD cards around somewhere, and you kind of become a little hoarder of collecting things along the way.
Right.
Saving for lights, and backup for lights too if they fail. So I've mastered like just having everything pre-packed the night before and double checking things twice.
Okay.
Before I go shoot. And scouting locations, because scouting locations is very important. You don't want to like get there and the location is totally not what you want. So sometimes things online, when you Google a place, might not always look like what that's happened a couple of times. So wow. Look and see where your locations are.
Okay. And then on your, so I'm looking at it like a split mirror. So on one side of the mirror, you're getting ready, you're making sure the batteries are charged, you have the SD cards in place, all the lighting and the keyframes are together. Now on the flip side of the mirror, there's a consumer, there's a client, and this client needs to get some early sleep. You know, if it's a morning shoot, what do they need to do on their end so that they can make your work easier for them?
Show up. Definitely plan on I'm serious, like showing up early, that is huge for me. I do my best to get there at least 10 minutes early, 10, 15 minutes early to a photo shoot, or if it's an event, I'll get there an hour early so I can set up. And same for the clients, I would respect their time. Or if they ask me, can you arrive at X amount of time? So, you know, because sometimes, I'm gonna leave this as a hint too. If you do show up to events or if you have a photo shoot, sometimes clients tip at the end too. So I've received a couple of tips from my clients, and thank you all so much for tipping me at events and stuff, because that really means a lot.
That's beautiful. And I think that's also a great way to encourage someone especially when it's hot. Let's say it's a hot day, you know, and you're going all over the place. You can get really busy. And, you know, speaking of events too, when people look for photographers, most times I notice just by watching, sometimes they either have one person or they have two people or they have a set of people. What determines what they should get, and how will they know that they need what they're looking for?
That's a great question. It all goes into the request of the client. So let's say if the client says, I just need one photographer, so that's maybe me as the lead or you as the lead photographer going into the shoot. Perhaps sometimes the client might ask, we are looking for a second shooter or a videographer to come on board. And luckily, I do have a team of people that I work with. We're a very small team, but I also have a team of photographers sometimes that can come and work at different events, or I've got a videographer team that could come and capture content. And what we like to do is I go back to the client in the contract, and I will re-review that contract, and I'll say, okay, this is what we agreed upon, and here are the deliverables at the end of the project, and this is what you're going to receive. So that's kind of what we, that's how we do with our clients, if that makes sense.
I love that. No, that definitely makes sense, because it just separates, because imagine showing up to an event and then you see another photographer you were not told about. It's like, what are you doing here? So it gets, right. It's a little complicated.
I've come across those types of situations where I'm like, we're told we're the main media people, we're the main event people coming, and there's been other photographers there. But as long as you communicate, you know, with the organizer, who is the lead, who is doing what, I think that should be fine. Yeah. Not stepping on each other's toes.
Right. Do you think that clients, how do I ask this question? Do you think like clients, I won't say care, but are aware of what they're looking for when it comes to quality cameras? Because you know what a quality camera is, but someone's going to base their budget based on the quality, the time, the efforts and all that stuff. So if somebody is compromising and saying, okay, I'm going to save $50 over a 1080p versus 4K quality, for example, how would you tell someone to consider the cost and also not think too much about the cost and more so the long-lasting experience?
Well, I think one problem is that we have this here now, you know, the phone.
Yes.
This phone takes half of our time to do what we really need to do on video or on photos now, and which is it dominated the wedding department, that people are like cutting costs when it comes to quality pictures. That's a whole other topic for another day. But I don't think so. To be honest, if clients kind of view the quality that they're gonna get when they're hiring someone that actually knows what they're doing, I think sometimes they forget their research about that. And that's a pretty good question to ask, because you're right. They could be looking at something that is 1080p on somebody's website, like a picture, but that is because nowadays, like you mentioned earlier, we were talking about how social media really decompresses all of our images. I really don't like that about social media, so I try my best to size it to web. Any images I have, I size it to the web because I want people to get that interaction and that engagement. I want to retain the quality of the images rather than let's just shoot to shoot. And sometimes that's what ends up happening. And you see, I recently just had someone that was trying to book me for a wedding, and they said, you cost too much. I'm like, well, it costs a lot because of the value I know I bring. And sometimes we forget, as you know, photographers or creators, if you're a content creator, your worth, we totally forget our worth as artists. And we shouldn't have to bargain down just because we're too expensive. And I've been told this time after time. It mind blows me. Like, hey, if you can find someone with an iPhone to go do that, then that's fine, go ahead, but it's not gonna be the same quality.
Exactly.
That's a great question.
Yeah, I'm glad that people are learning something new. If there's one thing that you wanna let them know today on photography and where they should hire, who they should hire, of course they should hire you, you know, if they're looking for quality over quantity and the best bang for their buck, what should they be looking out for when they're checking off those boxes?
Great question. I think when you're researching a photographer or a videographer or someone to come do something for you, check the reviews. I think the review section is very, very helpful. Or testimonies. What are people saying about the person online? I've got testimonies on Instagram. I have testimonies on Facebook. I also have a lot of great reviews on Google. And so definitely worth checking into the testimonials. See what they have on their website. See how they're branded. What are the words that they're using? Like, are they using words like capturing timeless memories? Or is this like creating effortless events? Something like that. Look at how they're branding themselves. I think that should be a really good giveaway. And in their contact, if you go to their contact page, see if they have a questionnaire. See if they have a place that says, how did you find me? Did you find me through Clubhouse? Did you find me through Facebook? Or where are you getting your referrals from to contact you? So I think looking into those things, asking referrals from friends and family too, should definitely tell you what type of photographer or creator they are. I think doing your vetting is really key when you're looking for someone to hire, for sure. They don't want to just hire somebody and then they come in and they do a total botch job and leave you without a good product.
Yeah, exactly. No, thank you so much for that. I feel like that's the best way to look at it when you're vetting someone. Is not just because of they have good quality camera, but can you work with them? Can they respond better? You know, can they talk?
Exactly.
Can they say sorry? Or are they going to be like, you know, so it depends on you.
Exactly. I will, to follow up on what you just said, I was at an event not too long ago recently, and there was a lead photographer there, and I went to go shake her hand at the event, and I will tell you, the exchange wasn't that great when I walked up. I didn't know if because my presence was in the room or she knew who I was or anything like, or they knew who I was or anything like that. I was like, wow, this is not the way you greet people, especially if you're here to network or anything like that. So I was like kind of like blown away like by the interaction that I just received. So I like to think of myself as a very, you know, welcoming person and very inviting. And so I was kind of just like thrown off by the interaction. So I just thought I had to share that. So even on that, how they interact, interaction is key too.
Yeah, it is. It's a big thing because from there, those interactions turn into connections. And then those connections turn into
relationships.
And it keeps going from there, from one idea to one referral. You know, it's a big one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know you had asked me on Clubhouse before I forgot, because we were talking about like techniques and like lighting, and
yes.
We got to talking about, did you still want me to bring that up, or sorry, you didn't want to bring your flow there, so go ahead.
No, it's okay. I actually want to hear what you want to say, because that's going to help people kind of like spill into what we talked about before. So yeah, I'm listening.
Yeah, so Faber and I were talking about different types of techniques when it comes to lighting, because there's all sorts of, I love lighting, I think there's all sorts of lighting that's out there that you can manipulate with your subject or whatever you're shooting. Right now there's like LED lights, there's reflectors, there's spotlighting, there's ring lights, there's all sorts of lights, and I think it's kind of cool. For me, I love golden hour. I think golden hour is really key for me when I'm outdoor shooting. I don't do a whole lot of outdoor shooting. It's cold. It's winter right now, so I'm going to go out there and freeze. But I do know people that do love to shoot in the cold weather and whatnot. But yeah, having some sort of source of light, if you can. I like to shoot with Godox. I think Godox is a really great brand for lights. And they're really versatile. You've got portable ones that you can bring with you. I've got a couple ones that I can just pop onto my camera and you know, help me out. But I was in New York this last time, actually met Godox at an event, and they were kind to let me demo some stuff. So I was like, oh, this is really cool. I get to see and play with some of the fun things. And if you could get into a networking event like that, where you could go and demo like gear before you buy gear, I think that's a really good, important thing to do. So test out lighting when you're just starting out. See what works for you, what's a good flow, and what you want in your equipment. I've got a couple LED panels from Newer, and they're great for when I do film projects. And I also have strobe lights that I use in the studio for headshots and stuff with reflectors. And yeah, just mix and match and have some fun with what works for you. Wow. One size does not fit all with lighting.
Exactly. That's so true. Speaking of lighting, tell us a little bit about the New York fashion. Just kind of like slide us in just a little bit on what are you planning to do? How has it been like for you in the past? And what makes this one so special?
Yeah, so this year was actually my first year covering New York Fashion Week runway events. And I had applied to a couple of productions to go do press and just kind of, you know, grasp the atmosphere and of the arts and everything, and I absolutely loved it. I fell in love with just what I do there, and just the runway itself, that's kind of where I come alive. And I love the style of Getty Photos. I don't know if you're familiar with Getty Images, but they do a lot of runway events as well. And I've seen some Getty photographers, and I was like, that is where I want to go with my event pictures. And so that inspired me to want to do more of the runway stuff. And I went in February of this year and also September. And so I did both shows, fall and, or winter and spring. And then now I'm doing my own show to produce my own event in February for Fashion Week. And it's going to be a very historical one because we are paying homage to Trinidad and Tobago, their carnival, because carnival happens that time as well. Mm-hmm. And so my mom and I have been tag teaming, mother-daughter duo, to bring this event to life. And we're very, very excited. And so one of a kind show, it's going to be really awesome. I can't wait to bring it to the runway.
Can't wait to see it too, especially if it's documented on the website so that people can listen to
it.
Yes, I'm 100% sure, and we'll make sure that is on there too. Wow, this is so good, Jolanta. I think you've given us a masterclass. I believe you have given us a masterclass.
I think so. Yeah. I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here with us. I know some people may want to connect with you. They want to know how they can find you. How can they work with you? Because some people may say, hey, I may not be in the same state as you, but can I work with you? So what flexible options do you have available for them?
Absolutely. So I do love to travel. I'm available either in New York City. That's one of my other hubs. Las Vegas, I travel to a lot too. California, Los Angeles. My home is Twin Cities in Minneapolis, but feel free to reach out to me on Instagram. That's where I'm most active. Or I'm also through my website. You can visit me at jolantayoungphotography.com. If you need like marketing needs for fashion brands, if you're looking for content for like private events or such, I'm also available for that as well.
Amazing. Yeah, you're welcome. Yes, you guys know where to find this in the show notes, in the description notes. Make sure you click on it, get to her website, so go to the contact section and send a message, and then leave the ball in her court, and she's gonna give you those three pointers you're looking for online. So I'm excited though. I'm really, really excited that you were here all the way from Clubhouse. Thank you once again for your time, and I can't wait to see what you're doing in the world for the people.
Thanks so much, Faber. The name of my show is Pan and Carnival and Designers on the Runway. February the 10th at 5 o'clock p.m. EST.
Hey. Make sure you guys get it. And there'll be tickets, right?
There will be tickets purchased through the Fashion Life Tour, and you can visit them on Instagram at the Fashion Life Tour on Instagram. And, or I think they've got an Eventbrite coming up too. That's where you can see all the designers.
awesome. This is perfect timing. Okay. Make sure you guys go there. If you're in the city already, make sure you get your ticket. If you're around the corner, you can make a flight, please do so, so you can experience these exciting times in the new year.
Wonderful. You're Thank welcome. You so much, Faber. This has been awesome. Appreciate being on the show.
Anytime. Thanks for coming. Till we meet again.
Absolutely.